بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said in a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, Buni al-Islamu ala khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa iqami salati wa ita'i zakah wa sawmi ramadan wa hajj al-bayt. Islam is founded on five pillars, or five foundations. Number one is the shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Number two is the establishment of salah. Number three is discharging the zakah. Number four, fasting in Ramadan. And number five, Hajj of the Bayt or Hajj. So these are what we know the five pillars of Islam. Our deen is primarily comprised of these five aspects. And these are the main fara'il that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon us. These are the things that we must have. The shahada at all times. We must have shahada whether we're awake, whether we're sleeping. At all times we have iman. Alhamdulillah. The second is salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us five times a day. After the shahada, this is the most important rukun or pillar of Islam. Five times a day. After salah, ita'u zakah, discharging the zakah for those who are eligible. They can discharge the zakah once every year, every lunar year. Fasting in the Ramadan for those who are eligible as well. Fasting in the Ramadan, not everyone can fast. The elderly, the sick, they're exempt. But this is also once a year. And Hajj, once in a lifetime. So these are the fara'id and these are the foundations of our deen. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon us. These are not optional. These are things that we must do. And the first one, the shahada, every human being must do this. Whether they're Muslim or not, they must have the shahada. Kufar must have the shahada. And if they don't, they will be punished. And that is why they are going to be punished in Jahannam. And then all of the four other pillars, those are for the Muslimin. And, you know, they're very important. So today I wanted to focus a little bit more about salah. The virtue of salah, inshallah, we're all aware of the virtues of salah. But what about the punishment of leaving out salah? We also need to be aware of what happens if we do not perform the salah. So it's not that we only mention tarheeb or warnings. We mention both. But there are times and places for both of these. So tarheeb, meaning the motivations, inshallah, we can save that for another time. But today, inshallah, talking about the tarheeb and the process in performing the salahs that we have missed. And also, you know, I'll talk a little bit about the fasting of Ramadan. We're coming out of Ramadan. The purpose is to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to do that is to repent and do tawbah. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of repentance is not just saying sorry, but making amends. Making amends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we do that is we complete the ibadat that we have that is still imposed upon us, that is still remaining upon our shoulders. It's a duty. If we leave it out, that doesn't mean that we are exempt. It's still there, and that is still something to be judged. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ يُنظَرُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ خَابَ وَخَسِرْ. The first thing that will be judged for a person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So for us, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us regarding, after, you know, our iman of course, is our salah. That shows you how important salah is. It's the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if that is found satisfactory, this person has performed their salah. And on top of that, extra salah as well. The sunan, the nawafil, etc. Then everything after that is going to go easy. فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْ. This person is successful. So meaning in that first moment on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we will have an idea what's going to happen to us on the rest of our journey. Qiyamah is a huge journey. There's many different stages, many different levels, different parts in which we will be worried, disturbed, fearful. But in the beginning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the reckoning, and He looks at our salah, if that is found satisfactory, inshallah, everything is going to go well. So this is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us, if you get your salah correct, inshallah, everything else will fall into place. However, وَإِن فَسَدَتْ, if it is found unsatisfactory, if it is found lacking, if we are missing a lot of salawat, خَابَ وَخَسِرْ, this person is going to be in a state of loss, they are going to be in a state of deprivation, they are going to be disturbed, scared, worried, and they're going to be a loser on that day. And this is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing us the importance of salah. Notice he doesn't mention anything about sawm, about zakah, about hajj. Those are in its place. Those are the fara'id. But salah is so important. It's the first thing to be asked about. And if we can pass that stage, inshallah, everything else, maybe the other aspects will be forgiven, etc. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, مَنْ فَاتَتْهُ صَلَاتٌ فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. If a person misses one salah, salatun, a single salah, it is as if the gravity and the severity of missing one single salah is like this person has lost all of their family and all of their wealth. Take a moment and think about everything that's important to us. It's going to revolve around our family, our wealth, what we spend day and night earning, our occupation, our family, whom we spend for. This will be, if missing a single salah is equated to losing all of our wealth and losing all of our family. This is how we should feel, because this is the reality. Salah is so important. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, that's how we're going to feel. Whether we feel that right now or not, we probably don't feel that way. If we miss a salah, we probably don't feel like it's equal to me losing my entire family and my entire wealth. But there will come a day when I will have to give account for every salah that I've missed, and I will feel that way on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whether I feel that way right now or not. This is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ رواه أحمد ومسلم. Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad, they narrate this hadith. Between a person and between kufr. So we are standing here. Kufr is over there. What is the middle ground? What leads to kufr? What's a step towards that? Leaving out salah. Once a person starts leaving out salah, they're taking steps towards kufr. He's not saying you become kafir once you leave out his salah. Otherwise, what would happen to all of us? By mistake, we miss a salah, instantly you lose iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Otherwise, if Allah wanted, by missing a single salah, He could make us lose iman. But out of His mercy, He allows us to retain the iman. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that every time you miss a salah, you are taking a step towards kufr. You are taking a step towards unbelief. In another narration by Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, La imana liman la amanata lah. There is no iman in the person who is not trustworthy. So the characteristics of a believer is that they are trustworthy. You can trust them. So a person who has no trustworthiness, their heart is such that they're deceptive. There's no real iman in that heart. Wala salata liman la tahura lah. There is no salah for a person who is not pure. If you do not have wudu, you need to take a ghusl, you need to do wudu. There's no salah for this person. You cannot perform salah if you do not have wudu. وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا صَلَاةَ لَا. And there is no religion, there is no Islam for the person who does not perform salah. This is very serious. If we do not perform salah, it's as if we don't have Islam. إِنَّمَا مَوْضِعُ الصَّلَاةِ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَوْضِعِ الرَّأْسِ مِنَ الْجَسَدِ. Indeed, the position of salah in relation to deen is like the position of the head on the body. Salah is so important. If our entire being is Islam itself, it's a comparison, a metaphor, that take a person and say, this is Islam. Islam has a physical body. What is going to represent the head of this person who is Islam? Salah. Salah is so important. It is the head. Imagine a person without a head, they cannot survive. Similarly, imagine our Islam without Salah, it cannot survive. There is no Islam without Salah. In another narration, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, this narration, عُرَى الْإِسْلَامُ وَقَوَاعِدُ الدِّينِ ثَلَاثَ. The handle of Islam, the grip of Islam, the foundations of Islam are three. عَلَيْهِنَّ أُسِّسَ الْإِسْلَامُ. Upon these three foundations is what Islam is built upon. مَنْ تَرَكَ وَاحِدَةً مِنْهُنَّ فَهُوَ بِهَا كَافِرٌ. If a person leaves out one of these three, then they are a kafir. They are out of Islam. And the ulama, they explain this. This means that a person rejects these things. So just keep that in mind. And he says, halalu dam. This person is a rejecter of Islam, and in the Islamic state, they would be put to the death penalty. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. The testimony that there is no one worthy of worship other than Allah. وَالصَّلَاةُ الْمَكْتُوبَةُ. And the salah that has been written for us, that has been prescribed for us, the five times salah. وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ. And the fasting of Ramadan. If a person leaves these out and rejects them, this is important, they must reject them, then they are out of the fold of Islam. Someone says that, I don't know what salah is, I don't have to perform salah, this person is no longer a Muslim. It's very severe. If someone says, I don't have to fast, it's not fard upon me, this person is no longer a Muslim, because the rejection of something is very severe. Another aspect is this person is lazy, they didn't perform the salah, they didn't keep the fast, and they know that they are making a mistake. This person is still a Muslim, but they're a great sinner. This is amongst the kaba'ir, the great sins, but they retain the iman. And remember, iman is belief. So if a person is rejecting, they don't have salah in their belief system. That means that this person is not a Muslim. This is very severe. In another narration, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was speaking about salah one day, and he said, "Man hafaza 'alayha kanat lahu nuran wa burhanan wa najatan yawm al-qiyamah." A person who is punctual with the salah, who perseveres and continuously performs their salah, this salah will be a divine light for them. It'll be a guiding light for them. It'll be a proof in their favor. And it'll be a salvation for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will be a time period in Yawm al-Qiyamah when there is no light. When the people have to cross over the bridge to get to Jannah, there's this huge bridge connecting the plains of Qiyamah to Jannah, and beneath that bridge is Jahannam. And there's no light. The fire of Jahannam is black, so it will not emit light. So people will not be able to see. So how are you going to cross that bridge if you can't see anything? It's pitch black. If you take a step on the wrong way, you're going to fall off of that bridge. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if a person punctually performs their salah, it's going to be a light for them on that day. So then you will be emitting light from your own body. Your body will make its own light. And you will be able to see that bridge, and inshallah you'll be able to cross. But if you did not perform salah, you will not have light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the munafiqeen, those who pretended to be Muslim, but did not really have the reality of Islam, and they did not perform the salah. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will ask their brethren, who they assume to be their brethren, the Muslims, they will ask them, let us take from your light. You are emitting light yourself, and I don't see my own light. Let me just follow behind you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. They will have a wall that is put in between them and the Muslims who are emitting light, so they won't be able to see. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you're punctual with salah, you will have that light. It will be a proof in your favor. Meaning if any kind of situation happens where you will be put to task, if you perform that salah, inshallah, it'll be a proof in your favor. It'll be like your lawyer. It'll defend you. And it will be a salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نُورٌ وَلَا بُرْهَانٌ وَلَا نَجَاهٌ. The person who does not perform salah punctually, لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا, he was not punctual, or she was not punctual with salah, they will have no light, they will have no proof, and they will have no salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rest of the hadith says, very severe, وَكَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَعَ قَارُونَ وَفِرْعَونَ وَهَامَانَ وَأُبَيْ بْنُ خَلَفٍ. And this person on يوم القيامة will be with the munafiqeen. And who are the greatest munafiqeen? Qarun. We see in the Quran Surah Al-Qasas, at the end of Surah Qasas, is the story of Qarun. He's going to be with Fir'aun. He's going to be with Haman, who was the minister of Fir'aun. And he's going to be with Ubay ibn Khalaf. These are the famous munafiqeen. So one of the greatest signs of a munafiq is they do not perform salah. They only perform salah when people are watching. But when they're alone, they do not perform salah. And the minor nifaq, the lesser nifaq, meaning lesser hypocrisy. There's a major hypocrisy, this person is not even Muslim, and they know it. And there's a minor hypocrisy where a person has some aspects of a munafiq, but they are still Muslim. The minor nifaq is that when we are in a gathering, we perform salah very nicely. We perform it properly, we do ruku', sujood nicely, qira'at very nicely. When we're alone, we don't even perform the sunan, we don't perform the nawafil, we rush with the fara'id at the last moment possible. We wait till the end of the time period of the salah, quickly make a wudu, 5 more minutes left, and rush through the movements of salah. This is a minor nifaq. This shows us that there is less fear of Allah in our hearts. There's an issue. And if left unattended, that can develop into the greater nifaq. It's a danger. So now, knowing that this is so important, that we have to perform our salah correctly, and tying in with the previous khutab, we were talking about, you know, aspects of gaining closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to do the qada. We need to make up the salahs that we have missed. If there is no more qada, if we did not miss any salah, then alhamdulillah. We need to keep that up. And inshallah, we should have hope in these ahadith that say those who protect their salah, they will be safe on Yawm al-Qiyamah. That should drive us. Continue. Move forward. Never miss a salah. And this person is very fortunate. But how many of us can we say, how many of us can say that we have no salah that we've never missed? No fard salah. Or that we've made up all of the ones that we have missed. If that is not our situation, we need to introspect. We need to look at ourselves. We're coming out from Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us in Ramadan that we are forgiven. This is a promise. You are forgiven, inshallah. You fasted in Ramadan, you standed in Taraweeh. That means you're forgiven. If you don't believe that, then you're not believing the hadith of Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's true. Who am I to say it's not true? Who are you to say it's not true? So we're forgiven, inshallah. Do you want to continue that with missing salah and having a debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still? This is a forgiveness that Allah has granted us. Let us continue that. Let us grow that. And by doing, the way to do that is to fix the debts that we have. Imagine if you have a debt with someone in dunya, you cannot rest. The debt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, or the narrator Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says, أَتَى رَجُلٌ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ لَهُ إِنَّ أُخْتِي نَظَرَتْ أَن تَحُجَّ وَإِنَّمَا مَاتَتْ. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Rasulullah, my sister, she made an oath that she would do Hajj. She promised. However, she has passed away. What am I supposed to do? She made a promise to Allah. She's going to do Hajj. But she died. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَوْ كَانَ عَلَيْهَا دَيْنٌ أَكُنْتَ قَاضِيَةً. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him a question. If your sister had a debt and she passed away, she owed someone some money and she died, would you pay that on her behalf? He said, yes, definitely. I would pay on behalf of my sister. I would not allow her to pass away and have this debt on her shoulders when she is defenseless in her grave. Of course, I would pay it. قَالَ فَقْضِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَحَقُّ بِالْقَضَىٰ. Then pay Allah, for He is more rightful to be paid his debt. Imagine how staunch we are, how severe we feel if a loved one passes away and they owe someone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not perform the janazah salah for someone who had debt. If someone died with debt, imagine your sahabi, a sahabi passes away, he had debt or she had debt. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out this person passed away, he would ask, did this person have any debt? Did they owe anyone money or anything else? If the answer was yes, he would say, Sallu ala sahibikum. You guys, you sahaba, you perform salah. I'm not going to perform their salah. That janazah salah, it's not for me. Someone else do it though. You guys go ahead and perform the salah. Imagine the last right of a person, when they're completely defenseless, when they have passed away, you and I are going to be in that state. And you had the opportunity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam performing your salah. And the salatul janazah is a dua for the deceased. When we stand in janazah, we're making a dua for the deceased. What better dua is that than the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? It's not going to be rejected. But if he found out this person had a debt to another human being, he would say, I'm not going to perform their salah. And this would be a reminder and a warning to the other sahaba. Now imagine the debt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is greater. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have so many things that He has put on our shoulders. He has given us a good life. He has given us food, clothing, shelter. Every single breath we are taking is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All He is asking is for the five pillars, one of which is salah. And if we fail to do this, then we owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the severity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling this person, your sister, she promised to do hajj. You would have paid off of a debt to another human being, so pay off Allah's debt on her behalf. So do hajj for her sake. So it's called hajjul badal. This also applies for salah. If someone is now performing their salah, we need to pay off the debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we would be fooling ourselves to think that Allah is pleased with us while we owe Him. How can Allah be pleased with me when I owe Him so much? If I've missed a fard sawm in Ramadan, I missed one of the fard fasts, how can I be safe? How can I be complacent? How can I feel that I'm in a good situation with Allah? If I missed a single salah, how can I expect to be in a good situation with Allah? We are very lucky that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to make it up. Once you miss a salah, there's no going back. This salah that we're going to perform now, Salatul Jumu'ah, is the only Salatul Jumu'ah we will have, meaning this one here. It will never repeat itself because time doesn't repeat itself. We're the only people on earth right now performing this Salatul Jumu'ah, and no one will be able to perform this Salatul Jumu'ah again. Once the time goes, that time goes. That's another Jumu'ah that's coming up next week. It was another Jumu'ah last week. And if we miss it out, then we miss it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wanted to be just, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to judge us with His justice, He could say, you missed it, there's no way to make it up. And you are going to be thrown in Jahannam for that. But He made a system for us to make it up. And this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's allowing us to make amends. He's not holding a grudge. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to come back. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, has not the time come for the believers, for their hearts to feel the fear of Allah and turn back to Him and accept the truth, accept the Qur'an, accept the hadith, turn back to Allah? Hasn't that time come? When is it going to happen? Are we going to wait till we're 80 to perform hajj? What happens when we die when we're 50 and we didn't perform the hajj? We shouldn't wait for these, you know, moments. I will do tawbah at this time. Who knows when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us tawfiq? Tawfiq comes from Allah, not from me. When we say that, or when we have that mindset that I'm going to do hajj and then I'm going to change, that means I'm giving myself tawfiq. I'm deciding when I'm going to get the tawfiq for tawbah. Allah decides. So we need to make that urge. We have to have that urge and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talks about the qada. He says, مَن نَسِيَ صَلَاتًا فَلْيُصَلِّ إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا لَا كَفَّارَةَ لَهَا إِلَّا ذَلِكَ. When a person has missed the salah, they forgot. And this is the husnul dhan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, you know, when a person forgets salah, because he knows no real Muslim is going to purposefully leave out salah. He says, when you forget salah, then perform it when you remember. As soon as you remember, go ahead and perform the salah. There is no makeup for it other than this. So perform the salah, inshallah. So whatever salah we have done, and I just want to wrap up here, there's much more to be said on the subject. But how do we make up our salah? Sometimes we've missed so much, we don't remember which salah it was. We don't remember how many it was. So I talked about this, I think, a year ago from, you know, today, last year after Ramadan. I'm speaking about it again. The way we make it up is, for the majority of people, they don't know exactly how many they've missed. Some people, they know, I've missed three. It was a Maghrib, it was a Isha, it was a Fajr. So for that person, alhamdulillah, they should make it up as soon as possible. But for the vast majority, they don't know how many, which ones, which day. So what you do is you estimate. Make an estimate. get a sheet of paper or write it on your phone or whatever, you want to make an Excel sheet. Sit down and think really hard. How many did you miss? How many years was it? And estimate. And you won't be at fault if you add a little bit more onto that estimate, inshallah. So 5 years. And for instance, someone misses 5 years of salah. Then add an extra, if you're not sure, say 6 years. Not a big issue, inshallah. So now you have that many salahs that you must make up. And you know that some, for some it's more, for some it's less. We need to start making, take the first step towards it. And yes, it's overwhelming. You're going to have years and years of salah. These are thousands of salah. That's overwhelming. But if you start today and you die today, it will be written that this person started their qada. Your heart will be looked at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see that your intention was that you were going to finish. And inshallah, Allah can reward us according to our intentions. And so you will see on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you have no salah. But if you never made that first step, that can be against us. So write it all down, inshallah. And so sometimes everyone's situation is different. Maybe they were very punctual with Salatul Fajr. Because before going to school, before going to work, they were always up at that time. So they don't have any Fajr that is missed. But Zuhr they would always miss because that's work time or school time. So you write down accordingly how much you feel that you've missed. And you can add a little bit more if you want. Estimate. Very rarely does a person know exactly how many salahs they've missed. So estimate how many you have. Make yourself a chart. You know, say that I need to perform this many salatul zuhur, this many salatul isha, etc. And start tallying them off. And you can perform your qada salahs any time other than the makruh time periods. When is it makruh to perform salah? When the sun has just risen. You know, and you can tell because the color of the sun is a little bit different at that time. When the sun is directly in the sky, you know, it says here it'll talk about zawal, which I think is 1:39 right now, zawal time, so it lasts about 10 minutes. It's makruh, you cannot perform salah at that time, it's impermissible. And right before the sun is setting, only if a person has not performed asr, they can do so at that time. But right when it's setting, you cannot perform salah at that time. Other than these time periods, you can perform as many qada as you want. You don't have to perform it in order either. Pray 10 dhuhr, pray 10 asr, pray 10 isha, wake up for tahajjud. The ulama say you will get the reward for tahajjud even if you wake up at that time and you're doing your qada. So do whatever order you want to do, but mark them down and write it down. The reason being that after some time, maybe you did a year's worth or 2 years worth, shaitan will come and start putting waswasa in your mind that you didn't do anything. Or you did much less than you actually did. So record it, inshallah. And slowly start working at it. Start getting it all down, inshallah. This way, inshallah, we will be in a good footing. We will be in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pure. And very briefly, the qada for fasting. If anyone has broken their fast on purpose, you know, without mistake, you know, they decided that I don't care, I'm going to eat or I'm going to drink or I'm going to have relations, whatever it is, they broke their fast on purpose, then this person has to do a qada for the missed fast, make it up one day. And there's a penalty. So the penalty, when we talked about this in a program that we did about fasting, the penalty is that you must fast for 60 days nonstop. 60 days nonstop. If you miss a single day in between, if you miss the 50th day, you have to start over. This is the penalty for missing a fast on purpose. If you made a mistake, there's no penalty. Water went down your throat when you were gargling or something. You only have to make up one fast for that. But if you purposefully said, I don't care, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, there's a penalty for that. That is 60 days continuously, consecutively, without missing. Only the sisters, if they have their periods, they can wait for that portion of time. Or postnatal bleeding, they can wait for that portion of time and then resume after. And this kafara, this is called a kafara penalty, it must be at a time where there's no Eid in the middle. So you cannot do it right now. If there's 2 months before Eid, you can. But if there is less than 2 months before Eid, you have to wait till Eid. After the Ayyam al-Tashriq, then you can start. And my advice is start in the winter time. When the days are very short, it'll be easier for you, inshallah, to do 2 months straight. So this is something we have to do. And it's only 2 months for every missed fast we've done, collectively. Meaning, it's not 2 months penalty for each fast, that you have to do 2 months for, you know, 5 years of fasting, is 2 months and it'll cover everything in the past. So that's not a big sacrifice, inshallah. Allah is willing to forgive us if we do the 2 months penalty. Along with that, you have to do the qadah. How many fasts you miss, you have to keep those again, and then you have to do the penalty. So that is the penalty for fasting. So we're coming out of Ramadan, we need to fix all of these things. One thing is, yes, Allah is ghafoor rahim, He is forgiving. But He is also shadeedul iqab. He is also very harsh in His punishment. This is one of the names of Allah. Yes, He's merciful. He's ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But He's also maliki yawmiddin. He's also shadeedul iqab. He's also very powerful in His might and His punishment. So we cannot take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly. Don't expect Allah to forgive you if you did not, you know, do the kafaras and the penalties and the qadha. So this is something that we have to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to turn back to Him first of all, to have this in our minds that we want to fix our situation. If we don't want to fix the situation, then, you know, it doesn't matter. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you don't feel haya, you don't feel shame for what you've done, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Allah made the dunya such that you can do whatever sin you like. If you have no shame, then go. But this Islam is for those who have shame, who feel that I owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I have a duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are amongst the Muslimin, then feel shame for what we have done and make amends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fix our situation, rectify our situation. And we will see, inshallah, if we do this collectively as a whole, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will improve the ummah's situation. We always say, you know, do a type of protest or do something else of what's happening overseas, what's happening in different places. There's a place for that. Yes, we do protest. But the inner protest, the true protest, is rectification. If we rectify ourselves as a whole, inshallah, everything will become correct. As in some ahadith, Aisha radiallahu anha said, that evil rulers and tyrants are sent as an adab to you. If you turn to Allah and you do tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them correct. So this is our situation in today's time. We've turned away from the ahkam and the rulings of Allah, and we want to protest and hold picket signs. But the real way to protest is tawbah, is istighfar, is rectification, and salah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify our conditions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah nasuha, a true tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to fix our relationship with Him. Wa sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala ala khiri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.